Thank you, Hector. That reminds us our Christian life is on display all the time, the way we live it. We can be helping somebody with our testimony or hurting them. Appreciate that good message and song. I got shocked about that Saturday night thing a while ago, and I forgot to also tell you that Matt Marshall and Julie is going to be with us this weekend. They're coming in to help us with Restore-a-thon. Many of you know the Marshall family and how they kind of grew up among us sometimes. I think Matt was born over here in Winterhaven. But they served with us, and Matt worked at the radio station, and so we're bringing him in also to help us out. And if you get a chance, talk him into playing his banjo some. Remember that. How many of you remember Matt Marshall? All right, big bunch of hands. Well, tonight we're blessed to have Brother Terry Donahue. He got back home safe. I was sure praying for him. He went over to the children's homes and got a good report to give us tonight, and we're looking forward to that. And I appreciate all of you praying for him. Somebody said a while ago, don't shake hands with him. He may have some foreign germs he brought back. All joking aside, Brother Donahue, come on, please.
Wow. I guess about almost 40 years ago, I was pastoring in the Bronx. That's that little town north of Manhattan. John Marshall pulled up with an old beat-up old car, and he just bought a bus, and he said, we're going on the road, and he resigned from his church and joined our church, and that doubled our attendance right there. But it was, through the years, we started having babies, and they started having babies, and we were having a contest to see who could have the most. And we gave up at 8. You know, and they went on to 10 or 12 or 18, I'm not sure, but Brother Marshall used to say that the two of us were trying to replenish the earth, you know, but it's a blessing, and many, many memories of great things that happened through the years, and it's exciting. And this last trip was unbelievable. I every time I go, I think we could never top what happened before. And I watched how God worked in this ministry, and it's just such a blessing. And let me tell you a couple of things that happened on the trip. I flew to Dubai, and I had 21 hours after I left Orlando, because I had a layover in Dubai, a long layover. And I'm walking around the airport like a zombie. I mean, literally like a zombie, without the cuts and stuff, you know. And I was walking around, I stopped and bought a Coke. It cost me $16 for a bottle of Coke. So I said, well, you know, this gotta last, you know, for this price. Anyway, I saw a sign that said men's, and I walked into a men's room. And I walked in, and this is in an Arab Emirates now. I walk in, and they got racks to take your shoes off and put them up in the racks. So I thought, well, I guess I'm supposed to take off my shoes. So I took off one shoe, and I saw a big thing that looked like a long trough. I thought, well, that must be the place that men use in here, you know. And I saw men reaching in and washing their hands. And I said, man, what kind of place is this I'm in? And as I went to take the other shoe off, I leaned over, and sure enough, there were people on carpets bowing down, laying down and praying. I walked into a prayer room to use it for a restroom. And I didn't exactly know how I could get out of this without, I just grabbed my one shoe that I had taken off and put in the little cubby there I was supposed to put, and nobody thought anything of it. I grabbed my shoe and I ran out the door. I looked up and I said, I know it said men there, and it was in Arabic, and then it said men. So, but it must have said prayer room in Arabic, and I didn't read that stuff. But sometimes these things happen, you know, it's just as crazy as can be. But what a blessing to know that We don't have that kind of stuff here, but if we wait long enough, it's going to happen. You mark it down. I was in one airport where they had an Arabic prayer room, or Muslim prayer room, they called it, I believe. And it's just, they're around, and they're moving in. They're taking control, and hopefully with our new president, things will change. And because the Americans are being pushed away, Christians are being pushed away, and we need to start bringing them back. And the people in these other countries are saying, I wish we could be like you. And I said, no, you don't. You don't want to be like our country, because our country is not what it used to be. And they think we're all cowboys and gangsters and drug dealers and all. That's all they see on television. But before I start, I just want to explain to you, in Burma, we passed out 100,000 Bibles. 100,000 Bibles, and we had 50,000 of Adoniram Judson's Bible. 50,000 Bibles, 100,000 Gospels of John and Romans. But it's Adoniram Judson's Bible, the Bible that he translated from the King James, and it's pretty close, probably not 100%, but the fact is that we had an opportunity to give these Bibles out in this country, and the people were jumping at us to get them. Just, you know, in America, you could stand there trying to give out Bibles in the street, and they'll laugh at you. If we try to give out tracts, they'll laugh at you. But here we were with all of these Bibles, and you're going to see, we're going to show pictures in a few minutes, and you'll see the whole big stack of Bibles that we had before we started, and what an amazing thing. We got them through the Bearing Precious Seed, shipped the Bibles over there, and we had to bring them from Bangkok into Burma. But what a great opportunity we had to get the Word of God out in Burma. And you could go ahead and let those turn that thing on, whatever. We had a problem with the Anniversary Sunday. Anniversary Sunday is always the same as it is here. But I found out about a month before, and I didn't want to talk about it, that we had to change the Anniversary Sunday and move it up 1 week. And I bet you wished you moved yours up 1 week too. But anyway, the Chinese New Year started. And when the Chinese New Year starts, you got a full week of doing nothing in Burma, Cambodia, and all of the Asian countries. They celebrate Chinese New Year for an entire week. Restaurants were closed. It was a good thing I had some potato chips in my room. I would have starved to death, you know. But the fact is that we had to change the anniversary to move it up a week. But at the same time, moving it up a week, we had 194 souls saved throughout the ministry, our ministry, and 33 baptized that day. And it was, I'll give you some names of some of the churches. We have the People's Baptist Church in Burma, Landmark Baptist Church in Yangon, the New Life Baptist Church in Burma, Landmark Baptist in Kalameo, Bethany Baptist in Phnom Penh, Landmark Baptist Church in Kendal Province, Capital City Baptist Church in Phnom Penh, Landmark Baptist Church in Kampong Chenang, that's up in the jungle, and we have Liberty Baptist Church in Phnom Penh. These are all churches that we started through this church here. This is our outreach into these countries. So we got Liberty Baptist Church. We had Good Families Baptist Church. Some of these names are unique. And we had Phnom Penh City Baptist Church, Harvesters Baptist Church. And we also have the Garbage Dump Baptist Church. They don't call it the Garbage Dump Baptist Church, but I do, because that's where it is. It's in the dump. And we have a great ministry there to these people within the ministry there. The next 3.5 weeks after I left Burma and went into Cambodia, this is now after our anniversary time, I preached in 10 churches. And in 4 province churches. These are mission churches that will be churches as time goes on. We had another 51 more saved after the anniversary Sunday, and an additional 28 more that I baptized. And then now our total saved has climbed to 245. I asked Brother Stringer to come. He said he was going to be in the area. I asked Brother Stringer if he would come and see what we're doing. And I said, I'll give you a chance to preach in my best spot, the place that I enjoy preaching in. Well, he came, and I'm going to read a letter that he wrote and put in, I guess it was Facebook or somewhere, and here's what he wrote. I quote, I wish every preacher could experience what I did yesterday. Missionary Terry Donahue took me to Kampong Chong, and there was one of the churches and orphanages that was started in Cambodia, the jungle being turned into towns and schools. The region is inhabited by four different groups of Muslims and some of the remnants of Pol Pot's army. We had a morning evangelistic meeting. About 50 adults came. 230 children came from a nearby elementary school. The children were sitting on the floor, but overall were extremely attentive. We were very careful with the presentation of the gospel and the invitation. 25 adults and over 100 children made professions of faith. Some of the ladies were wearing habibs, that's that Muslim headdress, but they were also open to the gospel. You should see the looks on the faces of these children when they tell them about Jesus and what he did for them. I will never forget it. Such a day provides such encouragement to soul-winning missions. I will have a lot more to say when I return back home about the Terry Donahue's ministry. God bless that day. And it wasn't even a scheduled service. We went around and let people know we were going to have a service. We went by the school and told them we're going to be having a service, and the people came, and they just kept on coming. We couldn't even fit them in the building. And what a golden opportunity we had. And I watched a woman with one of those Muslim headdress on, and we were singing Jesus Loves Me, and she was singing right along with it, Jesus Loves Me. And it's such a blessing. When I was back at Dubai on my way back home, I was about this high off the ground, excited about what had happened in the meetings. There was a lady sitting in the bench next to me in the airport waiting to get on the plane, and she looks over at me and she says, "Are you an American?" And I thought, "Uh-oh, I'm going to get my throat cut or something now," I'm thinking, you know. And I said, I couldn't hide it. I had an American flag on my jacket, you know. And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." And she says, "Well, I am too." I said, "Well, that's good to know, real good to know," I'm thinking. Well, sure enough, I knew that she had no weapons because they had already checked us out, you know, so I was pretty safe. But anyway, we were just talking in general. So she said to me, "What do you think of Donald Trump?" I said, "Oh, you asked the wrong person." I said, "I voted for him." And she said, "Well, I did too." And I was floored when she said that. And I said, "Are you serious?" And she says, "Yes." She says, "Let me tell you something. My religion has been hijacked by criminals and deceivers. And the only hope that America has is Mr. Trump." Amen. Wow. And she says, "If people would only stop and listen to him and stop listening to all of the lies that they tell about him, that what we would have a better country." And here I come from after 26 days of watching CNN. And I was so depressed. All I heard was how bad he was, and because I was there for the inauguration and all, and they made fun of that. It was just awful, just terrible. The entire time, they just constantly harassed our president. And they would call him, even though he's the president, they would say Donald Trump. But when they talk about Obama, they say President Obama. And it's just little digs like that that they would do, and it broke my heart to see that. And I was going through withdrawals for Fox News, and I'd have to get it on the internet and read through it there, but because I couldn't get it to come on. But what a blessing to meet this lady, this Muslim lady in a Muslim country, and she voted for Donald Trump. And she says, there's a lot of us. There's a lot of us that are loyal Americans, and they can see the handwriting on the wall, she said. So it's a blessing. Now, I was in Cambodia for 20 something days, and I was teaching at our pastor's training school, 3 days, 10-hour classes. And when it's 110 degrees and there's no air conditioning, you got a little fan that comes like this every now and then, you get a breeze. And finally, I got them to put one aim right down on the pulpit where I was teaching. But you know, God blessed in that time. We have these pastors from the distant provinces that come. They sleep on the floor. The food they eat, I would never eat. But anyway, they eat it, and they're celebrating like they enjoy it. You'll probably see pictures of them sitting at the tables eating. But the fact is that these people want to learn, and we're just teaching them basic Bible doctrines. And we're just trying to get them to the point where they can stand and know what it is to be a Baptist, know what it is for someone to join their church. They don't just come and sit down and say, I'm a member of the church, that they have to be baptized into the church. And some of these people have never heard this before. They have Baptist on their name, but they don't know what it means. And so we spend a lot of time with this teaching and giving them doctrine and giving them strong Bible direction. And they, every time I go, they'll say, well, I took the lessons that you gave, and I'm preaching to my people. What, they think I'm a good preacher now? They go, you know, and it cracks me up because everything I have is either borrowed or from somewhere else that I'm using too, you know. So, but the thing is that God has truly, truly blessed reaching these pastors in our pastor's school. We also, I was teaching at our Bible Institute, Landmark Bible Institute. We're into our second year now, our third year, and there's a four classes, 10 hours a day. It's a struggle to do it, and it's hard. You feel like you're going to fall apart, and all you can do is drink water and keep going. And then I also taught another four days of six-hour classes at Liberty Bible Institute, which is right across from the Killing Fields in Cambodia. And the Killing Fields are where Pol Pot marched the people out of Phnom Penh, and he brought them out to an area that was all woods at that time and killed them. And just killed them. If a man was wearing glasses, he said he must be able to read, kill him. They killed all the doctors. They killed all of the people with any education. They took their babies and just took them by the foot and slung their head against a tree and killed the babies. It was heartbreaking to realize what this man did to his people, and completely emptied the people. And so the people started learning to eat whatever they could. Anything that moved, they ate. Now, preacher was talking about that international food. I was thinking about some of them bugs that they eat over in Cambodia. I wonder if we brought some international bugs over, people, the ladies who want to eat that. But anyway, these people learned to start eating rats. And I've tasted the rat. I wouldn't have a meal of rat, but I've tasted some of it, and it's really not that bad. When you don't know what you're eating, it's even better, you know. And chances are, in some of the restaurants I've eaten in, I've probably been eating rat, didn't even know it, you know. But they say Chinese food's that way. You could just eat, and you never know whether it's cat, dog, chicken, or it all tastes like chicken, they say. So, but anyway, these people would come and they would just stay there. and in the classes. But thinking about being in the shadow of where the killing fields are, and we're teaching the Bible. So we're going from the killing fields to the living fields. And right outside, there's a big monument. It goes maybe 5-6 stories high, full of skulls of all the people that they unearthed the bodies and stacked up the skulls. And there's thousands and thousands of those skulls there, and many more in the ground. As I walked through the killing fields, I could see some of the clothing that was people were wearing when they were killed and buried there in these mass graves. The clothing is starting to come up to the top, and you can see a little child's little rubber shoes that they wore, or some of the clothing. And it's just heartbreaking to realize this, that these people were killed like this just because they were educated. Now, so then we started a school in the garbage dump. This is not where the church is now. This is a school. The lady that rents these buildings to these scavengers that go into the garbage dump, and they take out plastic and paper and glass and things, and they sell it. This is how they make their living. And they rent these little shacks, or they actually build these little shacks on this lady's property. And she gave us permission to put a little school there. And last year, Linda was with me when first year at the school, and it's exciting to see these kids there studying. I wish I could have had the videos in time for you to see tonight, but the children quoting Bible verses in this garbage all around them in this dump, and there they are, happy as can be, wearing nice little uniforms, and we're gonna take these kids and maybe break the cycle in their life. These kids, the parents were raised in this dump by their parents who were raised in this dump. And now we're getting children to learn to read and learn to write and learn to add, multiply. And we can, if we can get these children to break away from this cycle of being in this garbage dump, it'd be a totally changed life. In November when I left, I had a man that lives over in Wind Haven, and he said to me, "I'd like to do something to help you." And I said, "Well, we need to put a well in." He said, "I'd like to have a well." And his name is Pelican. So he says, "We could call it the Pelly Well." I said, "That's fine. We'll call it anything you want, you know." And sure enough, this man bought this well, gave us the money to put the well in. So I sent it over, and I said, "It must be finished by the time before I leave Cambodia." And sure enough, it was finished on the day that I got there, you know, so which was exciting. But anyway, I went over and showed him pictures of it, and he had tears in his eyes, realizing that 40 families are gonna live off this water, this good, clean water in this well. And he said he's just so excited about it. And I said to him, "Well," I asked him, "if you were to die right now, do you know that you go to heaven?" He's, "Well, sure, I'm a good person. God has always blessed me. How can I not go to heaven?" And I could not get the man lost. So he knew Brother Grafton. And Mrs. Grafton from the nursing home, and I asked Brother Grafton, I said, "Brother Grafton, please go visit this man." I told him where he lived and all, and Brother Grafton went over there Thursday afternoon, I think it was, and led him to Christ. So you know, here's the man wanted to help with the well, he wanted to help the ministry, and because of that, he ended up getting saved here in the U.S. So that's that ministry reaching out again, you know, and so it's. But 40 people are going to live off this well and have good, clean water. This is in the garbage dump area, and the government doesn't do anything to help these kids whatsoever. So we started this school, and the children are learning to read. They're learning to quote scriptures. They're learning the numbers, and they go over and over again. They have a different way of doing it than we do here. Maybe better, I don't know. But the fact is that they are actually, I'm praying that they're gonna break that cycle, that life cycle, and get out of that dump and get themselves jobs and go on from there. We have a farm that we purchased 20 acres of land a while back. And each year we try to use our bike-a-thon money to do some bigger project. And by the way, it's coming up. I'm going to need some help. We bought 20 acres of land, and we have our own farm. I wanted to call it the Landmark Farm, but we didn't. You know, they call it something else. But anyway, we're growing vegetables and flowers. And I said, flowers? And they said, oh, yeah, we can eat them too, you know. So I said, but they can sell them. And that would give them money for fertilizer and seed and all to grow more vegetables, because the Asian people just love flowers all around their homes, in their homes. Everywhere you look, you'll see beautiful flowers. So anyway, our farm is working on that. Our future goal is to train up the orphans at a vocational school. We want to start. We have the Bible schools for, but there are some that struggle, and we want to be able to give them an opportunity to learn a trade. And I got people within Cambodia and in Burma that are willing to teach these children how to work with their hands and make a living for themselves. So this is an exciting thing. But now I got some prayer requests, and I'm not asking for money. God will take care of that. We have a house mom, a lady that runs one of our orphanages. She has been with us for 10 years. Never asked a thing for herself. And she was diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer. And when I was leaving Burma, I took her to the hospital in a taxi. And she had a big smile on her face, and she was brokenhearted, scared to death that she knew she was going in for surgery to have the cancer removed. They removed the cancer, and they came back to her and said, "You have stage 3 cancer." And she's devastated. So as soon as I got home, I wrote a check and sent it out to him. I said, "Please use this. Get the chemo treatment. Do whatever you can, and we'll pray that God will supply more, and we'll see what we can do to get her through this thing." She's part of our family. She's part of this ministry, and her name is Naomi. Pray for Naomi she'll get through this time, and she's very sick right now. I got in touch with them today, and she's just sick and very weak because of the chemo, and who knows how their treatments work in that country. So be in prayer for them. Then I have another little girl, the second prayer request I have. Her name is Sray Rim, S-R-A-Y, Sray Rim. Sray Rim means beautiful girl. Now, this little beautiful girl is 10 years old. She can't hear. Years ago, we had a young girl in our orphanage in Burma, and she had, Linda said to me, she said, "That girl's not listening," and her eyes are wandering around. She says, "Something's wrong with her." And sure enough, we found out that the girl was deaf. And we were able to bring her to a specialist in Thailand. Cost us hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And we brought her to the specialist in Thailand, and he did an implant. And she was able to hear out of just one ear. We couldn't afford the second ear. But today, she's working at our orphanage full-time. She's an adult now. She's like 19 or 20 years old. And she's able to work at our orphanage, and it's a blessing. But if we hadn't noticed that, if we hadn't seen that, what kind of a life would she have? The government would not even let her teach. They said, she's dumb. Send her off to work in the rice fields, in the rice paddies. And so we don't want this to happen to Sray Rim. She's in Cambodia, and the trip to Thailand is going to cost about $800. And who knows what if she has to get a hearing aid or an implant, how much more it'll be. But I ask you to pray, because these are all kids. There's no difference between these kids and the kids that come in our church on our buses. And they're our kids. God has put us in the position of being responsible for them. And it's just been, we're working on our 17th year of doing this, and we've seen kids come through our schools, come through our Bible schools, and grow up and out pastoring churches. And last year, a young man graduated from our Bible school. He married a girl from our orphanage that they grew up together, and they got married, and he went off, and he ended up getting bit by something, got sick, and died. And you think, whoa, what a waste, all that education, all. But no, he had a great life from the time he was 8 or 9 years old when he found his way to our orphanage. But folks, I have two adopted children, and I watch my children, and I watch them raise their children. I see where the blessing is. And Linda and I are just giving back some of the blessings that we received through adopting Johnny and Rena. And they are our challenge. They're challenging us to do more and to see more souls saved. So folks, I just ask you to keep us in prayer. We sort of take a back seat. I'm usually the guy walking around with a security car and doing things like that. But every one of us have jobs here at the church. We all have responsibilities. This church is all our responsibility. You know, I preached over and over again in Cambodia that blind Bartimaeus was on the side of the road, and he couldn't see, but he heard that Jesus was coming. And he stood up and cried out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And the people told him, "Be quiet. Hold your peace," they said. And he said, "No way." And he jumped up and started shouting, and Jesus stopped. And he said, "What?" And he asked Bartimaeus to come to him. Bartimaeus dropped his coat and ran to him. And I told the people in Cambodia, I said, there are some things that we need to get rid of in our lives if we're going to serve God. He dropped his coat because that coat would hinder him from running to Jesus. What is stopping us from serving the Lord? What is stopping us from running to the Lord? Is it a rainy day so we don't come to church? Or is it it's too hot out so we don't want to go? Or is it too cold in the church, or whatever it may be, you know? But the fact is, what is going to stop us? Bartimaeus took off his coat and ran to Jesus. And that's exactly what we should be doing. I share that with them, but the message is the same for us here today. We all have to let go of some things if we're going to serve God. And I'm privileged to represent every single one of you. I represent this ministry to all of the people in our areas that we serve in. Pastor, thank you.
Folks, let's stand with our heads bowed a moment. Think about what we've just heard. Really just heard the tip of the iceberg from Brother Terry. I know he wishes he could open our souls and just pour in what he's seen and felt, what God is doing. Somebody may drive by our church here, and they may see the buildings or something and say, "Well, look what God's done." But they can't see the mission field. They don't see what's happened and what is happening. 17 years, Brother Terry, telling us about that. And yes, that is part of our ministry, part of our church family. When you look over here at the mission gauge, in the midst of everything else we do, missions are so important. And probably dollar for dollar, there's no better investment that we make than we do on the foreign field. And that is a tremendous testimony. I'd already heard the story about the man in the well getting saved here. And you know, there's a lot of people like that that have a heart to do something for God. They have no idea how to be saved, never heard the gospel. And that was a case like that, bouncing back from the mission field over here. Well, Father, we do thank you for what we've had shared with us tonight. We thank you for delivering Brother Terry and the physical trials that he went through, that you gave him grace and strength. Thank you for the results, the great number of folks that were saved, and the ministry that just keeps on going over there and doing so much with so little. And we thank you, Father, that we can see your hand in it. And Father, what a horrible place the devil, with the killing fields and all that awful stuff, killing the Christians and anybody that had never been to school they could find out. And what an awful thing it was. But dear God, we thank you, you're still able to reach in there, places like that, and reach these kids. We do pray, as Brother Terry said, the cycle can be broken. And we believe it is being broken, and for your glory. We thank you again for the message tonight. In the midst of all we're praying for around here, help us not forget the sending of the gospel and doing your work around the world. May your blessings be over there. Bless those pastors and those new churches and school and the kids, and protect them, Father. And again, we thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the Lord Jesus and the fact